By the way, anyway, ule pole tutinya tuliwa kumangalande kwa twaila masambili lo kashmalwele. Seko ku smile na fmenu fiabora, mfande kwa mana na konke mpya mkalale, shako ngokutamba finde kwene. We Latin sa windange fino, shitilinga na batimpwena, nsakonke pikwe pepa findeko, nsakonka hifu nangwa masako, imisho ni kupendo muzulu, ema pepa la yasangwa na bakulu, itichuma taba pela kama fumo, pakuliamo kanonga wabafimo. Mambala windange linso, ndepata ndefwa yorufia, ukepuse nangu ni barufia, baga kweba atuwa konkolufia.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. It is Saturday, October the 6th, and we do thank you for joining us from whichever part of the world that you have joined us from. Good afternoon, Europe and Africa, and good morning, America, like they say. Good evening, Western Australia and the Pacific world. We do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us every weekend and to be on this forum. We have an exciting discussion today. It's Citizens Forum, where we have a member of the community share their thoughts on events and things that are happening. Recently, as we may all be aware, the heads of state gathered in New York for the General Assembly of the United Nations, and the heads of state came from different parts of the world, including Zambia's president. They never seemed to miss that event for some reason or another. Others didn't come, but others did come. So during that event, President Lungu and his delegation decided to take time to interact with the Zambian community or citizens that are based in America, in New York particularly. And that is where our discussion is emanating from. Our guest today is a member of our community, Chimumbwa George Shikopa, based in New York. Hi, George. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Nathan. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing good. Doing good. Look, Chimu. Yeah, I should have said that. By the way, I like the name Chimu.
Thank you.
I like the name Chimu. Everybody listening, please join us. We'll be talking to Chimu here. He was part of that meeting, which was, I'll use this word, Chimu, presumably it was supposed to be a town hall meeting, but they wanted the president to interact and talk to the Zambian people. Good morning, Roger, my friend from Canada.
Yes, good morning, Nathan. Good morning, Chimu. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio.
Thanks. Good morning.
And hi, Priscilla.
Hi, good morning, Nathan, and welcome, Chimu, to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. We have a lot of things to address with Chimu here, and at some point, a few minutes before we end the segment, 10 or 15, we shall give an opportunity to some of our colleagues in the community who are fundraising some money in order to repatriate the body of one of our deceased members. So let's get started here. Chimu, when you guys were invited to this meeting, were the invited guests or would-be attendees to the meeting with President Lungu informed about the structure, procedures of how the meeting was going to go?
No, we were not really informed. So everything, it's usually informal, the way they do it, is that, you know,
yes,
the president usually has a hectic schedule whenever they come for the General Assembly. So they try to carve out some time in between meetings for him to meet with the Zambian community. But usually you have the ministers who stay much longer and engage more with us guys over here.
Okay. So from the video, when somebody watches that video clip where you and him are interacting, By the way, those listening, I think most of you have seen, we've called this show A Moment with Zambia's President, because I think Chimu did something that most people wouldn't do. When you see it on video, it looks like a normal, ordinary thing, but it's not. That wasn't a normal thing, Chimu, you did. It took a lot of guts, like they say in this country, for you to do that. What I'm trying to say is that it appears from that video that the president was only going to give a statement like he did. He talked or some remarks. Then he left. Then he was going to leave. And the is that Zambia's permanent representative to the UN, the ambassador, stands up and he says, yes, the president is about to leave. For somebody who hasn't watched the video, just explain that transition, that moment from the president speaking, the ambassador coming up, and then you just stand up and say, I need to ask a question.
Okay, yeah, sure. So the whole premise of President Lungu's engagement was that there'll be a Q&A session with the Zambian
yes.
community where he will hear directly from, you know, from people in the diaspora. So the way they had it was initially he was supposed to give some remarks for like 10, 15 minutes, but he kind of like cut that short and he introduced his ministers, the chieftainess who was traveling with him, you know, let them, you know, talk for a little bit. Then people need to understand the context. Because
mm-hmm.
if people go back and listen to what President Lungu himself said, it set
yes.
the stage for everything else that happened. Because he basically, just to be blunt, he said that if we as Zambians don't engage in citizenry, that if we do not assert ourselves, then too bad. You know, essentially that's mm-hmm. what he was saying. So after he spoke, there was supposed to be a remark by one of the heads of one of the Zambian communities over here in New York. And then after his remark, he was supposed to give like a little 3-minute remark. Then after him, there was supposed to be a Q&A for roughly about 3 minutes. But the
yes.
gentleman gave his remark, and then the Ambassador Kapambwe excused the president and said the president has to leave. And then that's when I was like, you know, I have to do something here. I felt like I had to do something.
what was going on? I can imagine the adrenaline that was going on inside you, Chimo, here. And if somebody is not there, it's different. When you were saying you had to ask a question, were there any signs from anybody, government official, security, who were trying to make you not do it? Or what was there anything going on behind the scenes that we're not able to see on the video?
Well, the moderator, Mr. Mwanza, who worked for the mission, he was the one who was
yes.
sort of like emceeing the whole situation. So, you know, we're all familiar with him. And, you know, if we all want to ask a question, we just try to get his attention. And, you know, he's supposed to come over to us, give us the microphone. But none of that took place. So it was more like President Lungu comes in, we all stand up. We sing the anthem, we do a prayer, he gets introduced
mm-hmm.
by the ambassador and the minister of foreign affairs, he comes on, and then he gives, you know, some remarks which are directly targeted at us in the diaspora. Essentially, he's
mm-hmm.
saying that us guys are too passive, and, you know, you shouldn't be apologetic. You know, speak up for yourselves. If you don't speak up for yourself, no one will speak up for you. And it's like you should be proud to be Zambian. You know, when people say A, B, C, D about Zambia and social media, it's up to you to go up and defend us as Zambia. You know, things are going on well in Zambia. You know, so his
mm-hmm.
whole thing was aimed at, you know, at us in the diaspora, because there's been a lot of noise with regards to a number of things. Most recently, you know, the Chinese investment in Zambia. So I think he was
yes.
pushed back towards that. And, you know, he was like, you guys in the diaspora have no clue what's happening on the ground. That was his message, essentially.
You guys in the diaspora have no clue what is happening in Zambia.
just to paraphrase. Yeah, just to
yes,
you
know,
paraphrase.
Yes, I know. I'm sure everybody, what I did is I forwarded that whole event to people so that they watch for themselves if they are going to participate in this. I said, look, if you are going to engage Chimu on the show, you need to see what happened. Okay, now let's get to the question that you asked. You addressed, why don't you hold press conferences? That was the first part of it. And then you referenced his colleagues like Kagame, Uhuru. The second part of the question was the public relations. If some of these things are not right, you can always correct me. If some of these, your public relations wing or unit of this administration is not very strong, it doesn't seem to be up to date. Number three, the issue of dual citizenship. It is one thing for them, I'm also paraphrasing, it's one thing for them to do what they have done, but what's pertaining on the ground with immigration officers or officials when you get into the country is different, okay? Government not implemented programs. And then you also mentioned the issue of our remittances, which amount into millions of dollars. You actually used the word there would be a recession without this. The President Chimu stands up and says, you promised one question, but I'm actually, this one I made sure that I was going to quote this. You promised one question but gave a pregnant question.
Yeah.
Respond to that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so I actually had a very different question in mind when, if I was going to be given the opportunity to actually ask the president a question.
Okay.
We can go into that.
What was that question you had in mind?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was like, presently there's a case before the Constitutional Court that challenges eligibility with regards to 2021. And most legal scholars, most constitutional scholars have said, you don't qualify. And even if a layman were to look at the Constitution the way it's written, you don't qualify. So if by chance the Constitutional Court rules against you, are you going to step aside peacefully in 2021? That was my question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay, interesting.
So,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, so the whole thing was, he was over there talking about how, there's so many falsehoods in social media. So my whole thing was, you need to start engaging. There's a serious lack of engagement from our head of state, not just with the public, but with the private sector. So I threw in Kagame and Kenyatta, for their engagement with both the public and the private. Like those gentlemen hold press conferences monthly. Those guys engage with the private sector. I'll give you just, a very simple example. They engage with their business councils, every 3 months. So where it's nonpartisan, you get, everybody, all the business leaders, from domestic and international, you come together every 3 months. Okay, these are the challenges that the economy is facing. And, your ministers are right there. And, it's a good way to hold your ministers accountable. Because after 3 months, you can come and check back on, on the progress of certain things. It wasn't like, I think he took it as a comparison to, the democratic ideals of Rwanda and Kenya. I mean, look, we all know Zambia has one of the best democracies in Africa, probably after Botswana itself. So I was trying to make that comparison. My thing was very simple. If you engage with both the public and the private sector on a regular basis, and you do the investment in your public relations, you're not going to be having these social media issues that you're complaining about. That was my, initial thing.
Okay. Now, the president Chimu seems to have been giving the impression that you were all over the place, okay? That's the impression that the president seems to be giving. And by the way, on social media as well, I told you that this has created some interaction on social media. It looked to the president, it appeared like you were all over the place. And he kept insisting and he said, what question do you want me to answer? What is the most fundamental to your heart? Now, The argument that people are giving on social media, I want you to know this. The argument people are giving on social media, I'll let Roger and Priscilla come in if they have anything, is that instead of you going back to the 5 or 4 points that you raised, you raise a completely different question and you start talking about ministers not being accountable. You talked about the Black Mountain. This is the second phase of your questioning. How do you respond to that, where people are saying you were all over the place?
Okay, so I think what that video doesn't show you is the president's reaction, because the first question was very simple. You know, you're there complaining about, you know, social media. Why don't you hold press conferences? Then he ducked that question. So he was like, oh, that's when he came in. Oh, this is a very pregnant response, whatnot. So I'm like, okay, let me give you something easier. So he was asking me, what would you like to talk about? And if you listen carefully, I was like, okay, let's talk about, you know, how much money we really owe. He ducked that question again. Then, you know, he started talking about 2021. And then I was like, Mr. President, you have, you know, the Constitution is not clear if you can stand. He ducked that question again. And then I was like, okay, let me give this gentleman a very softball question, because it was very clear to myself and everyone who was there, he wasn't really interested in answering any of my questions. So I was like, okay, let me give you a simple one. When are you going to start holding your ministers accountable? He wanted to start ducking that again. So I was like, okay, I'm not even going to get into the fire tender. Let me give him something easier. Let's talk about Black Mountain. You know, because that one is clean cut, it's straightforward, you know. So even that, he ducked it as well. So it's like, what can you do? You know, like the man, I've gone through like 4 or 5 things here. These are very simple questions. I didn't even get into like the serious stuff of, you know, why has he abandoned ZIBAC, the Zambia International Business Advisory Council? You know, you're spending $1.2 billion on a road that everyone knows shouldn't cost more than $300 million. I mean, $1 million for a fire truck, ambulances. He just fired a minister, you know, because it took donors to complain for him to actually do something. So, you know, there was that frustration. So if you see the whole video, you understand why things reached to that point. It was, you know, a very frustrating experience to be in there, you know, thinking you're going to be able to engage with your president in a positive manner, only to find out that, you know, this is something else.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Because here is the thing. When you raise the question, Chimu, of which probably I can categorize as the third phase of your interaction with him, when you raise the issue of the Black Mountain, you categorically stated that a statement was issued that the place was safe and then the disaster follows. You remember how the president responded? He said, who said it was safe? You remember that?
And I'm
saying to myself, Mr. President, I'm watching this and I'm saying to myself, Mr. President, yes, there was a statement issued that the place was safe. At this moment, Chimu, describe the atmosphere in the room from the people sitting with you in the area where you are in the auditorium, in the audience, so to speak, and those on the platform. What's the atmosphere in the room at this stage?
Oh, my God. So you had like different categories here, right? So you have the people who are like sitting like generally in my direction, near where I was, like the camera didn't necessarily capture them. And then I've seen some other angles where it captures them. They're like, you know, they're in agreement. Like somebody needs to ask questions. Then you had the people who are, you know, the pro-PF who are like, they couldn't believe what was happening. You know, they were like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? You know, they were looking at me like I had a third eye right in front of my forehead. And then you had the government officials who wanted to dig a hole in the ground and bury themselves, because they're like, oh, my God, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. But truth be told, personally, I don't think the president minds like a back and forth like that, interaction like that, because, you know, 10 minutes prior, he challenged us to be assertive. And, you know, at the end of the video, it might not show you. You know, he actually waves at me, looks at me, he waves and he's like, okay, I'll see you another time. You know, so it was all good.
Yeah, because I agree. What I notice is that of course, like somebody would say he was just trying to do his job. Ambassador was trying to, like, not let you ask the question and say, okay, when you ask the question, he was insisting that the ministers will address this thing, okay? And at the end of you talking, I noticed that everybody notices in the video that the president stands up, takes the microphone from the ambassador, and the audience applauded. Okay? that was a very interesting moment right there. Before I go into the issue of dual citizenship, I don't know if my colleague Roger here had a question or comment about what he saw.
Yeah, Jim, interesting discussion, let me say. A few things. From the reaction of the president, Jim, his reaction, his attitude to some of his questions, what does it really tell us about the way our leaders govern and probably the way they feel they are accountable to the people? Because not going through, oh, it was me, you were mixed up, you were this. To me, that was very irrelevant. But you being bored and asking, and the president ducking the question, what does that tell us, the attitude our leaders have towards their own people?
Oh, yeah. So what it tells us is we're in a situation where the president's staff shields him from the people. Because think about it this way. When do you actually ever hear from, from our president? You only hear him at speeches in parliament, campaign rallies, airports, commissioning of projects, and it all feels rehearsed. And when he's speaking at those events, there's no opportunity to engage with somebody who's already not on his side, because at those things, everybody's on his side. So there's no opportunity for him to hear critiques of his governance staff, So that's something that he needs to work on, because clearly, his people have kept him in the proverbial bubble, as quote unquote, as they call it. He doesn't speak to people with divergent views. It's very clear.
Do you think, Chimo, it's really we could blame the people around him, or he likes it because he knows what the people are crying about? The president and everybody, they are not in that much bubble. They know what we are complaining about. And therefore, he allows that situation, that picture, they give that picture, oh, he's being protected. Can't we, I don't know how to put it, but can't this man say, I want to talk to the people today myself? Is he not the one allowing that bubble to be around him?
Yes, I mean, ultimately, the buck stops with him. But I think, when there's no political pressure, when they believe that all it takes for them to win an election is just to appeal to their base, and that's it. That's what they believe in. So they believe that, okay, we have our base, we sort of don't need anybody, because they don't feel like they're being challenged enough that they need to actually go out and earn the Zambians' votes. It doesn't look that way.
My last question, Nathan, Chimo, what that experience tells you and tells me as a member of the diaspora. You did explain a lot of things, how much money we are sending. Really, my question is our role to put a check on our government in our country, and everything around that question, if you know what I mean, as a member. Because we are not scared to be fired. We are not scared to keep this small job, because I'll do this. And that's why those people, Chimo, they looked so surprised to see a president being challenged that way. They were very, very surprised. Our role, Chimo, are we really embracing it?
I think for, you know, yes and no. Like, more recently, you know, people have began embracing their role of being in the diaspora, being Zambian, and doing something about the things that are back home. Like, for us guys in the diaspora, we have to get off the sidelines and get into the game, because the game is being played. And these guys in Zambia, they know how to play the game. So we need to, you know, we just need to say, okay, guys, for the next couple of years, this is how I'm going to contribute to Zambia. You know, it doesn't have to be monetary. It could be your time. It could be your ideas. It could be something else. But we all have to get off the sidelines and help with regards to Zambia. It's an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation. That's my message to the diaspora. You know, that don't be afraid to go and participate in your politics. Because if you look at what the president was saying, he was basically saying, you guys in the diaspora, engage. You know, do not complain if things don't go your way. You know, so we have to engage. We can no longer, it's not even an option, in my opinion, to sit on the sidelines. You know, don't complain about Zambia if you're not willing to do something about it. Yes, Zambia is a very tough country. It's failed a lot of us. But the only way Zambia, only Zambians can fix Zambia. That's my view on things.
That's true.
I agree with
That's
you.
Very, very true. Mm, excellent. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to Chimumbwa Shikopa. He had a moment with Zambia's president when he visited New York, when he came to the UN General Assembly or whatever they call it. All of us know those things that happen. I don't know, Priscilla, if you had any comment. I want us to switch to the issue of dual citizenship and immigration here and your experience at Chimu when you go to the airport. Okay, she has dropped. Chimu, you travel to Zambia, and I know you do quite a little bit. You raised a very, very, I can emphasize the word very so many times. You raised a very cardinal, one of the cardinal issues you raised was what the politicians do and what actually pertains in reality or on the ground with the government workers or civil servants, whatever you want to call them. I had an argument with a friend about this who goes to Zambia to say, oh no, when you enter Zambia, all they do is give you a form, you fill it in, and they stamp your passport and you go in. Just talk about your experience when you enter Zambia as a person living in the diaspora.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I've traveled to Zambia quite a bit over the last couple of years. And traveling through Lusaka, my experience has been sort of like seamless. I just get into the country, Zambian passport, and I'm off. But this time around, I flew from Johannesburg to Livingston. I was traveling with my girlfriend. So she got her visa online prior to us traveling. So that's a very quick process. It's very seamless. So when we got there, the immigration officer demanded to see my American passport. So I'm like, why? You have my Zambian passport here. And then it's like, you know, they had the audacity to say there's no dual citizenship in Zambia. So I'm like, you guys can't be serious. It's in the Constitution. You know, and I even pointed out to the fact that Edgar Lungu came to New York in 2015. He said he was going to do it. And in 2016, he did it. Like, what are you talking about? So it got into this whole big thing where I had to go to the back, sit down with, you know, one of the supervising officers, and I was like, look, listen, we all agree I'm a Zambian. I never lost my Zambian citizenship. So why should I pay for a visa? I'm like, you yourself would never agree to pay for a visa to come into Zambia. I mean, I have my Zambian passport, I have my national registration card, I have my birth certificate. All my parents are Zambian. My grandparents are Zambian. I even have a picture from 1935 in Mbereshi with my grandmother and my great-grandfather. You know, no one can tell me I'm not Zambian. But what's happened is the policy hasn't yet filtered down to the immigration officers on the ground. That's what's happening. They're dragging their feet. So, you know, as I pointed out to the president, that yes, you introduced dual citizenship, but implement the policy so that people can actually go to Zambia and, you know, participate, you know, as a Zambian. Because one thing that people don't understand is if you're technically not Zambian, that means you can't get land the way you want to get it. You can't open up a business the way you want to get it. You can't inherit the way you think you should inherit, because they can pretty much strip you of those things or off of a technicality, especially if you picked up another passport prior to them passing the new constitution on, was it January 5th, 2016. So a lot of Zambians need to realize that, you know. So, you know, so that was, you know, it was an uncomfortable experience. I really made noise. If it wasn't for the fact that I was with my girlfriend, I would have just walked through immigration. Because legally they can't stop you from coming
from entering the country if you are Zambia.
Yeah, they can do.
So, you see, here is my thing to say, when you make it, and please, I don't even know why I'm going to say this, because I really don't care whether I'm misunderstood or understood. I've passed that stage in my life. This is, for me, this is not really a PFC. This thing started with MMD, okay? And I made this statement. I've said it on this forum many times. This dual citizenship thing was a political stance. It was a political whatever word you want to use, okay? You cannot have a situation like this. I don't even know whether it's a year, how many months have passed since the noise, all that jubilation about dual citizenship. The president signed the constitution, for crying out loud, in a stadium, Chimu. And I think the dual citizenship clause is in there. Isn't the dual citizenship clause in there?
Yes, it is. It's in Article 33 to 39. It's there.
Okay.
It's there.
So now, what are we missing here, Kelvin? What, I don't know. Help us here, Kelvin. I mean.
Okay. No, it's very simple. The in Zambia, there, you know, you have to start from a fundamental perspective, right? We've always had that belief that if you leave Zambia or you've left us, you know, you've abandoned your Zambian identity. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Very fundamental levels. And then if you remember, Nathan, years ago when the late Michael Sata was running for president, he came on your show and he said in plain English, he did not support the idea of dual citizenship. So all of us he said it on your show. So all of us were like kind of excited when Edgar Lungu, you know, said he was going to ensure that dual citizenship was in place in the new constitution, you know, but they haven't, two and a half, almost 3 years later, you know, they haven't implemented the policies on the ground.
Yes, go ahead, Kelvin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of Chimo's situation, but here's the thing, right? The president signed the dual citizenship into law when he signed that new constitution, I think January 2016, I believe.
It's 2 years now.
So if Chimu became, a U.S. citizen prior to January 1, 2016, at that point, he automatically lost his Zambian citizenship just because he maintained a passport that had not expired. Doesn't mean he was still a Zambian citizen. If somebody became a U.S. citizen or a British citizen after the law had taken effect, yes, they maintain their Zambian citizenship as well as their new, you know, nationality, right? In that situation, you have to go through the process of reapplying for bestowal of citizenship. Just maintaining a Zambian passport does not say you are a Zambian citizen. I'm speaking this because yesterday I was at the embassy reapplying for bestowal. And I had those questions, and those questions were addressed thoroughly. So, like I said, I don't know Chimu's specific situation, but if he lost his Zambian citizenship prior to the law taking effect, yes, he has to reapply.
Okay, thank you for that. And you know, just to clarify, I waited for the new constitution to be passed before naturalizing as an American. They passed the new constitution in January 2016. I naturalized in April 2016. So I actually waited. And, you know, Article 34 is very clear. Citizenship may be acquired by birth, descent, registration, what have you. And Article 39, Part 1 is extremely clear. A citizen shall not lose citizenship by acquiring the citizenship of another country. So in terms of bestowal of citizenship, it doesn't apply to me. I never technically stopped being a Zambian.
Okay,
yeah,
the question I want to raise here, Kelvin, is that it looks like there is a disconnect between what is in the law and the practicalities of what the immigration officers are supposed to do. So, okay, when you, the questions you raised when you went to the embassy, Kelvin, when you apply to be whatever the process is, what do they do? Do they put a stamp in your passport, or what? How would the people at the airport know that you have you are a dual citizen, if I may say that? What will show an immigration officer at the airport that you don't need to pay a visa? What is there?
Okay, so once you lodge your application, they verify your documentation and things like that, right? They submit those to the Citizenship Board of Zambia. The Citizenship Board will review the application and either bestow or deny. So let's just assume you're bestowed the citizenship. Then you have to obtain a Zambian passport. When you get that Zambian passport, that's what you would do. You would travel on to get into Zambia for you not to pay that $50 visa fee. They don't stamp anything
okay,
else.
So that's the only way passport. they know that you have both whatever. So now, this is the reason we are raising this argument, Kelvin. That is exactly Chimu's situation. He has an American passport and he has a Zambian passport. Now, for the immigration officers to treat him the way they treated him, it's unacceptable, which means there's a disconnect here in the situation.
Right. And you see, this I think I've spoken about this. This is the reason why this might seem like I'm digressing, but this is the reason why we have to promote technology. Because if I become a dual citizen, it should reflect in the Zambian system. It should reflect in the American system. You see that, so that I don't go through the hassle of somebody demanding a U.S. passport when I am a dual citizen, when I have a Zambian passport. You see that? It should be able to reflect in the system that, hey, yes, I did relinquish my Zambian citizenship at such and such a time, but I've gone through the process. I've been bestowed that Zambian citizenship. You see that? I mean, it's unfortunate he went through that. It might be an operational issue. It might be information has not seeped down to the officers, you know, that be. But, I mean, it's unfortunate. You see?
Yeah, Chimu, I don't know what you want to add on to this based on your experience at the port of entry. I mean, what were they saying to you?
Well, the frontline immigration officers, you know, didn't recognize the fact that I was Zambian, but their supervisor did. But because they hadn't gotten any policy direction from up and above, it was kind of, we got bogged down into a situation where people had started making phone calls. And yes, technically, I mean, I could have stayed there all day, made enough noise, and they would have let me go through with my Zambian passport. But I was advised by one of my elders that, look, you know, just pay the $50 and get out of the airport, because, you know, the Zambian bureaucracy, we all know it's a little slow.
Nathan, I want to ask Chimu this. So, Chimu, you got to Livingston and you presented your Zambian passport and the immigration officer could not accept it. On what basis? How did they know you also carry an American passport?
Where's your exit stamp from South Africa?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Makes sense.
Okay. So that's what actually created this whole scenario and everything else. Everybody, we're talking to Chimu here. He was part of that meeting where President Lungu was interacting with the Zambians in New York, where he came for the UN general meeting. Chimo, I don't know how long you stayed in that meeting after the president left, and are there some things you'd like to share with us? What continued to happen? The interaction with the ministers, how did that go?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, the ministers interacted with us, I believe, for about 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes after the president left.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Minister of Planning, Alexander Chiteme, who was pretty much at the forefront of engaging with the Zambians and, you know, defending some of the PF policies because people were challenging him on you know, things like corruption, you know, for instance. And, you know, many people were focused on the loans that Zambia is getting from the Chinese government, and which made the Zambian ministers defensive, because their point of view is that, you know, should we continue to get loans from the West? You know, you guys are pro-West. And I think they missed a very important point, which is that just because somebody is against, you know, opaque Chinese loans doesn't mean that they're pro-West, because there's some of us who don't believe in getting loans from, say, the United States, because that comes with strings attached. You know, they'll want to own you. So, they, you know, and they do that via the World Bank and the IMF. That's a whole other discussion for another day. So our thing was that, look, we do not want to be colonized again. We need to be very careful on the type of loans that we're getting and how they're benefiting the economy, because the minister was able to point out to the road network that's in Zambia, and I'll be the first to agree. The roads have improved tremendously. Like, I went, you know, all the way to Luapula, you know. But the money for that development, what's happening is that China will loan Zambia, say, a couple hundred million dollars for a project. So with that, what happens is from the engineers, to the people doing the roadworks, to the supply of the materials, the heavy equipment, all of that money is coming from China. So there's very little money that's actually coming into the economy to spur the kind of economic growth that investment in you know, in infrastructure would give you. So that's what we were trying to, you know, like, engage with the ministers about. But, you know, I guess we have to engage with them further.
Interesting. So apart from that, what other issues came up? Because the issue here is that, oh, by the way, just, I don't know if you know this, any idea where the president was going after that?
He was probably going to meet with another head of state, because pretty much when they come for the UN General Assembly, it's, you know, it's an opportunity for them to meet with other world leaders they wouldn't normally meet with. So even not just world leaders, but even business leaders, for example, they didn't tell us specifically who he was going to meet. They just said that he had an engagement. He was running a little bit late, because those meetings, you know, at the UN, they even run until 1-2 in the morning. So it's a little hectic.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that. Chimu, from this interaction, that moment that you had there, and just the whole general meeting, what would you say to this community? I mean, you and me, I say this community, to us, to the community, based on what went on there, because I've received different reactions or responses, first of all, to the prayer that was done, given by Apostle Musonda, what he said, and number two, the gentleman who seemingly apologized in quotes and quotes. I don't know who he was apologizing on behalf of, and to your interaction with the president, and an overview of all those things that happened. What would you say? What's your take on this?
My take on it is that we shouldn't allow our leaders to come to our respective cities and get a false impression of who's actually in the Zambian community. Because when these leaders come on a year-by-year basis or whenever they come, the people they meet don't necessarily reflect the people in the actual community. So they leave town with a false impression of, say, for example, the people in the Zambian community in New York. Because as those guys left, without, say, me speaking or some of the other people speaking out, their impression would have been like, okay, we have the Apostle Musonda who's done his prayer, and then we have the other gentleman, Webster Muyemba, who's apologizing and basically saying we should treat our president like our father, you know. So they look at us, you know, that these guys are weak, you know, for lack of a better term. I mean, the president himself said it in the context of his remarks.
Uh-huh.
You know, so engage. When you see these leaders, when they come from Zambia, pull them to the side if you can and engage with them. Like, there's no more room for sitting on the sideline. And, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, oh, this is not in our culture to talk to the president like that. I'm like, this has nothing to do with culture. And if I'm being honest, from the Zambians that I know in the diaspora, I'm pretty mild with, you know, my comments that, you know, with my Q&A that was directed at the president. There are other people who have, you know, who are more energy than me. You know, and for the people back in Zambia, government officials, they should expect this type of engagement, because the people who are now coming up are millennials. Like, I'm a millennial. So for me, I need to know the why. You just can't tell me we're doing this. I need to know why we're doing this. So I'm going to keep questioning until, you know, I get an answer that's sort of satisfactory, because there's a million issues in Zambia that are, you know, that are wrong. And some of us want to know why. Why are we continuing to do things in this way when we know that this is not the right way? I mean, these are clear-cut cases, you know.
Mm. Yeah, it is true. A friend of mine has posted, he's my friend. Smarta is a friend. Let me read what Smarta wrote on what he has posted on Facebook, and I want you to respond. And he's been engaging with Roger, who is here. Kletus is also here. They've been exchanging on Facebook. This is what he says about your interaction with the president, Chimo. And I quote, "It's a shame that his uncultured behavior towards the head of state overshadowed everything he had to say and said. What a privilege wasted by his unpreparedness and unresearched thoughts. It's one of those incidents where the purpose ain't question time, but show time. He is fortunate that he dealt with a civil person in ECL, end of quote." Your response?
My response is, he shouldn't be talking about culture. He's talking to somebody who actually went to this year's Mutomboko ceremony and went to the palace to see the Mwata. So he should stop with that. And secondly, I mean, it's got nothing to do with culture. I mean, he needs to see the entire video. He clearly hasn't seen the entire video. Like, it's very difficult to sit there through everything that happened and to not have an emotional reaction to some of the things that were going on. Of course, I know what I'm talking about. You know, I can, you know, engage with him even on this show any day of the week. If he wants to engage with us next week, Saturday, I'll be there. And we can have a debate. You know, I can listen to his ideas, he can listen to mine, and let the audience decide who's right and who's wrong, whose ideas they like, whose ideas they don't.
That's very true. Okay, everybody, that was George, that's Chimumba George Chikopa. He had a moment with the President of the Republic of Zambia. I have to end the conversation here because we have an important issue in the community which I'd like us to address. George, thanks for taking the time.
All right, thanks, Nathan. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to what one of our colleagues here, Stephen Banda, is not a stranger to all of us. He's you don't need to have a title to be a leader in the community. Stephen is one of the leaders in our community. We have a situation going on, and I would like him to explain and the reason we have to do this. Bambo, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. I know you're working very hard and sleeping 2, 3 a.m. I'm sorry to wake you up. We have something that has happened in our community. Just explain to everybody what we are trying to do.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity. We are trying to raise money. We lost one of our Zambian ladies. Her name is Tandi Zulu. She actually died in Mississippi. She stayed there for quite some time. She has a 17-year-old boy that she leaves behind. So she passed away August, August 27th. And having lived in Mississippi, obviously very few Zambians knew her. And I think one of the most unfortunate parts is that the family has suffered, a lot actually this year. Tandi lost her young brother, Judge Zulu, who was his name, in Swaziland. He died around February, and they were only able to raise money to bring him home somewhere in May, June. And that's when they buried him in Chipata. So, and then a few months later, I think 2-3 months later, so they buried him, Tandi died. Mm-hmm. So the family was very devastated. And because of what they went through with bringing the body of Judge from Swaziland to Chipata, they did not want to suffer that because the loss was still very fresh. So at prima facie, they made a decision to have Tandi cremated. So when we heard about it, we said, no, our culture definitely does not call for that. Raising money, much of it is a difficult task. But so far in the diaspora, we have never seen Zambians leaving their own behind to be cremated. We are going to take up the task to lobby, the community leaders, the clergy, and just other well-wishers to raise money for this lady so she can go home and be buried on their family farm in Chipata. And that's how we took up that task. So for cost-effective measures, we had to move the body from Mississippi to Dallas because apparently Mississippi, they were charging the the storage fees in the nursing home and all that stuff weekly, and it was going to be very expensive by the time we raised money to pay them. So, but we had to talk to a funeral home here in Dallas who would not charge anything extra for however long she's been there. So that
that's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, so we agreed with the funeral home.
In the few minutes remaining, how much do we need? And where are we now? And I know that we are having, is it daily updates and targets? What's our target for today?
Yes. So far, we are at $5,300. We are actually about $5,000 exactly away from meeting the target. We have crossed the very difficult threshold, and what is remaining is $5,000, which... can be raised if if a few of us just came in and gave $100 each or $50 each and can be raised. We are happy that the Congolese community been pushed by Bafi Manjata from Houston. They also have come in to try and help us. So we are $5,000 shy of sending Tandi home. Any Zambians out there that wants to help, we can send a link. They can send they can get my number 972-207-0916. I repeat the number 972-207-0916, and we can send a link to the GoFund. We can send a link to the GoFund. For transparency's sake, we want all the money to go into the GoFund where everyone can see it, so that way we know where we are at. But those that have sent cash up, we have still, because some people don't trust to have their card on GoFund for some reason, I don't understand. But they have sent the cash up, we have transferred the money back into the GoFund so we can keep everything there.
Okay. So everybody listening, you can go to Stephen Banda's page. On Facebook is Stephen Mwalabanda. There's a GoFundMe link there. KSIN Timpa, there's a GoFundMe link there. On my page too, also, there is a GoFundMe link there. Those of you that are not on Facebook, like if I am here, you can get in touch with Stephen. He just gave the number 972-207-0916. So today is Saturday, Bambo. What are we looking at? What's our target for today?
Today we want to try and see if we can raise $400 at least. We try to keep our targets realistic. I know that people have paid their rent, and now that is behind all of us in terms of our rent payments. We are thinking maybe, you know, a few of us today can jump in and mobilize a few people to give. We have actually created what we call a WhatsApp focus group, where we are thinking so many people, and you are in there, Bambo, where each person can add people, and before people leave or exit the group, we are asking them to donate something, and then at that point they can leave the group or they can decide to stay if they want to keep seeing the updates. And to keep it simple, we try to only give updates three times a day, one around 9, 10, and another one around 5, and the last one around 9 p.m., so that we don't bother beeping people's phones the whole day.
Yes, that's also a very good way of manage. This is one of the most civil or very well-managed groups. Like he says, I'm in there. There isn't a lot of spam or stuff going on in there. Just three times a day they give an update. So those information, Bambo, again, those would like, did you say the target today is $400?
$400, yes.
$400, 10 people giving $40. We'll do the 400. We can even do 500 or even 1,000. Zambia Block Talk Radio team and family, we don't hesitate on doing these things. My wife and I just made that contribution towards this. So that brings it down to a less amount. So those of you would like to give, please, again, there's a GoFund link on, on Bambo Stephen Banda's page, my page, Cletus, and a lot of leaders in the community. If you are not on Facebook, 972-207-0916. When do we, Bambo, when do you think we can get to this, to that point where we get this done and send Tandy home?
You guys have come in, and how you know, the clergy, you and especially Pastor Mwaka and Pastor Watson Kondowe, you have thrown your weight behind us to help us, and the president of OZA, you know, Sidiki Gilo, and Mr. And also the general secretary for SOZA, Mr. Jim Pakesi, and of course Bafi Manjaka from the Congolese community. With the help that they've given so far, I believe that you know, this mobilization is going to help us, you know, come up with that money quickly. We are looking at the rate we are going. We are looking at sending and the body this month, because the rate we are going at is very good, and it should be able to see us raise the money before the end of this month, so we can send Tandy home to rest.
Excellent, excellent. So everybody, please chip in. Go to Cletus's Facebook page, Stephen Banda's page. There is a link also on my page, and we should be able to do this. That was Stephen Banda, one of our community leaders. We are driving this fundraising so that we send Tandy's body to be buried respectfully and honorably back home. That was our show today, ladies and gentlemen. We are the Chimumbwa Shikopa, A Moment with Zambia's President. He has shared what really happened there. The video doesn't tell you much, and we've just been talking to Stephen here as he's been telling us about this fundraising drive as we try to send Tandy's body back home. Everybody, let's go back in and join Roger on Open Forum beginning tomorrow, Sunday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be doing some series on Nuggets on Leadership. Let's all call back in as we join Roger on Open Forum.
Twalolela bafula bafyashi bafulwa ushayi sofa aini. There's such a difference between us. Abana venu imwe mutwala kumalezia. Na kuyuke